Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The end is near. We've heard these sorts of words and seen these sorts of images before. When you come across a message like this, what sort of thoughts go through your mind? Fear? Joy? A resolve to persevere? Or maybe a call to do things differently? Of course, when we hear a message like, the end is near, it's good to define terms. What exactly do we mean anyway by the end? If it's the end of an election cycle, perhaps we collectively shout for joy. Thanks be to God, no more attack ads for at least 18 months, right? The end of the world? We probably have a variety of images in our minds for what that might be like. The end of our lives, individually? Like the end of the world in its present state, we must always be ready for this reality. We may be conditioned to think in our minds of 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years of life, but we know at some level that that's not guaranteed to us. We read and see enough news to know that tragedy happens around us all the time. Accidents, sickness, evil. When we hear such things, certainly our prayers and compassion ought to reach out to those who are in need, to those who are grieving and mourning loss. But at the same time, when we hear of tragedy, we should also be reminded that our time is coming too, sooner than we'd like to think. And yet, the scriptures are very clear that when we speak about the end of our lives or the end of this present age, that those things don't really mark the end. Rather, our lives anticipate a greater and far more permanent age, of which there will be no end. One of the places where the Bible speaks about this is in our reading from Daniel chapter 12. Toward the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel begins to receive a number of visions regarding what's going to be happening in the generations following his death. Kingdoms rising, kingdoms falling, all sorts of things like this. And then finally, when we get to the last chapter, Daniel 12, it's a vision that points us all the way to the end of time. Through this vision, God is speaking to Daniel and also to you and to me regarding what to expect, regarding what is important in his economy. Allow me to share some words with you from Daniel chapter 12. Starting at verse 1, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. Michael is one of two holy angels that are named in the Bible. What's the name of the other angel that's actually named in the Bible? There you go, Gabriel. We're tracking. Christmas is coming. We know the name Gabriel, right? Michael is described in the Bible here in Daniel and then in other places like Jude and Revelation as a great archangel who commands the armies of God and fights for the people of God against the forces of evil like Satan and those who would seek our destruction. We're told at the end of time that Michael will have a prominent role among the angels in fighting on our behalf, in protecting us against the onslaughts of the evil one. Daniel continues, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Daniel is told that there will be an intense period of distress at the end of this age. but that those who are written in God's book, in other words, those who live by faith in Him, they'll be rescued. As we'll see in the verses to come, some will be rescued by the coming of the Lord and will be alive at the coming of the Lord. Others will be rescued through the coming of the Lord by means of resurrection from the dead. Daniel continues, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Certainly here, this is not the only place in the Bible that speaks this way. We also get the same language at the end of the book of Revelation, that at the end of time there will be a resurrection of the dead for all people, for all flesh. We will stand before the throne of God, those who have trusted in Christ and live by faith in the promises of God will receive the inheritance of eternal life. Those who have rejected God's ways for their lives and rejected faith in Christ and trust in the promises of God will be sent away to everlasting disgrace and contempt. Finally, Daniel writes in verse 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Finally, glory is promised to those who live wisely with insight and lead others to know God and His ways in this life. Which brings us back to today. At the present time, right now, are our lives concerned with what actually matters when Jesus returns again and the age to come is inaugurated? We know that it's coming. We know that either Jesus is going to return within our lifetimes or we are going to die and be in the presence of Christ. We know that it's going to arrive sooner or later. And unlike this present age, we know that that age is going to last forever. That's the age that counts, the reality to which we've been made. Redeemed. To use a sports analogy, this life in many respects serves as preseason or spring training for the life of the age to come. I think this is actually a helpful metaphor because we think of the things that matter in the preseason and the things that really don't. People often don't understand this. Even as followers of Jesus, we're tempted to forget this, that this life is only the precursor to the life that actually matters and counts and lasts forever. So, what's the point of the preseason? What's the point of spring training? Well, there is a point to it all. After all, the preseason is important to prepare the team for the regular season. It's important for the sake of building the team, of implementing a system, finding chemistry, allowing individual players to improve and to grow. On the other hand, there are certain things that are only of passing importance in the preseason. For example, player stats. Now, stats in the preseason or spring training might give us an indication of the fact that a player is improving or understanding what they're supposed to be doing. But come the regular season, what happens to all those stats? Get wiped out. Start over again. Even something as crucial as wins and losses. What happens at the end of preseason? Get wiped out. You start over again. Ask the 2008 Detroit Lions. They went 4-0 in the preseason before they went 0-16 in the regular season. You see, there are certain things that have very little passing importance in the scheme of things. When the life of the age to come is inaugurated, things that we think matter a whole lot in this life, things like bank accounts, possessions, reputations, degrees, the people who follow us on social media, our looks, all of these things are interesting in this life and of some passing importance, it seems. But all those things are going to be like player stats and preseason wins and losses when Jesus comes again. Going to be wiped out and shown for what they really are. And yet, there are certain things that God prepares for us in this life that will be of incredible importance for the life of the age to come. There are things that stick, things that last forever, things that are important now because they're going to be important then. What kind of things am I talking about? Well, let's consider Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13. You know that chapter, that famous love chapter. What does he say at the very end of 1 Corinthians 13? He says, three things remain. In other words, three things stick. They don't get wiped out at the end of the age when Jesus returns. Three things remain. What are they? Faith, hope, love. Of course, he says the greatest of these is love. In 1 Corinthians 15, that famous resurrection chapter that Paul writes, he says at the very end of it that we are to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, loving one another, proclaiming the goodness of God, what Jesus has done for us, that we are to be about that business all the time. Why? He says, because your labor in the Lord is never in vain. In other words, it sticks. It lasts. It'll be remembered in the life of the age to come. Coming back to our reading today from Daniel chapter 12, we hear that wisdom, insight, they stick. In other words, knowing God's word, taking it to heart, practicing it. That makes us well prepared for the age to come. Isaiah will say, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Daniel will say that leading others to righteousness also counts. Using the influence and the callings that God has given us to point those in our care to Jesus, to the liberating news of what he has done for us on the cross, how he has taken our guilt away, how he's destroyed the power of death for us, how he has assured us of his presence with us always, even to the end of the age, and then life with him in the age to come. You see, when we talk about being wise, when we talk about leading others to righteousness, what we are really doing is pointing the way to Jesus. Jesus is the one through whom we pass from this age into the life of the age to come. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the true wisdom and insight of God. He is the one who has led many to righteousness. The one that through his death has brought us into the family of God, has given us the righteousness of God as a gift of pure grace. He is the one who already shines with the glory that exceeds all the stars of the universe. And in love, he claims us, and he calls us, and he prepares us to share in that glory when the games actually count. So, in these closing Sundays of the church year, God speaks to us. He calls us to fix our attention on what his Son has saved us for life with him forever, in a place where character matters far more than cash, where faithfulness matters far more than Facebook friends, where truth matters far more than technology, where love matters far more than luxury. These are the things that matter in the end. May God the Holy Spirit lead us to cherish them and to pursue them now, to the glory of the Father, for the blessing of those he has placed in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our coming King. Amen.